Unbranded Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie Dean. I'm so grateful to have you on this journey with me. And by journey, it's a journey of self-discovery, of learning about others, reigniting the passions I've long had but never had the time to dive into until now. If you're here, I'm sure you also have an interest in plant magic, living in alignment with nature, spirituality, and the magic that surrounds us that we don't see but works constantly in our lives. And I'm sure you also consider yourself a little bit woo-woo. So sit crisscross applesauce, cleanse your space, set up your diffuser with some oils that uplift you, and enjoy while we have interesting conversations with interesting people on Unbranded with Susie Dean. Hello, guys. Long time, no talk. It feels like it, at least. But it hasn't really been that long, I don't think. It does feel like it's been a while since it's been just us. I know off the top of my head, I think I had 3 podcast episodes with guests. 2 are with Ebby most recently, which you guys loved. And then I took last week off because we had a hurricane. Shout out Hurricane Milton. There was an alligator swimming around in our flooded streets. That is just Florida. And now it's just you and me. So, hi. Plus, on top of feeling disconnected from you guys, I've been away and have had back-to-back-to-back events, obligations, and trips. And I'm finally on the other side of it all. And I want to share my experiences with you because I've been reflecting on something important. To start off, I think that a lot of people confuse being outgoing with being an extrovert. And I want to clarify because I talk a lot about how I'm totally an introvert, and people that know me or are meeting me for the first time are like, Susie, you are not an introvert. No, I'm totally an introvert. I'm very outgoing. I can talk to anyone. I can make friends easily. I can have a good time. But when I come home from an event, I am depleted. I feel like a shell of a human being because I give all of my emotional energy away when I'm with people. And that's what an introvert is. I get my energy from being alone. That's how I can show up as Susie in the real world and at events and when I'm with friends. Robbie, my husband, on the other hand, is a total extrovert. If he's alone at home for way too long, he starts to get depressed. He needs to see friends. And once he sees friends and goes to events, it like revs him up. It fills up his cup. It fills up his energy tank. And he's like ready to take on whatever comes next. But I need my Susie time, which is my quiet alone time when I come back from events or trips or obligations, which is why we're here today. In the past, my Susie time was usually just an easy fix, and I haven't needed a lot of Susie time since I quit teaching, which was obviously a very overstimulating environment for me. I mean, I was teaching high schoolers, our school was overcrowded, each of my classes had like 30 to 38 students in them of all different personality types, all different energy levels, so many fires that I'm putting out, so many things that I have to do. But typically when I do need that quiet time, it's just a matter of having like, now that I'm not teaching, it's usually just a matter of having a couple of local events with friends or family, maybe some dinners with people or kids activities where we get all the kids together. And I come back and I'm overstimulated and I just need my Susie time. And usually that's just like a quiet weekend at home, reading, not talking to anyone, diffusers on, lamps on, overhead lighting off. And then after that, I'm good. I'm good to go again. But this year has been on a whole other level. And I've talked about it a lot on my Instagram stories because obviously it's like a relevant part of my life. I've always known who I am and what I need. I've known for as long as I can remember, as long as I've been overstimulated, I need Susie time. I think that started in college when I used to tell my friends, if you want to have a social event with me, if you want to go out with me, do something with me, I need a 3-week notice so I can mentally and emotionally prepare. But this year has forced me to take a much closer look at what my needs are in terms of energetic recovery and what my routines are to prepare for big, busy events, which, spoiler alert, I don't really have the answer for that yet, but I know it's something that I'm going to need to focus on. With everything going on, I've really had to identify just what I need to be my optimal self. And I've had to work through a lot of guilt surrounding that, because when I come to those answers of what it is that I need, I'm like, damn, I am a high maintenance bitch. But I wanted to discuss this because so many people messaged me after I talked on my stories about possibly doing a podcast on me being an introvert and figuring out what I need to bring myself back to life. They were eager to hear more because they felt the same way. And also, I had a moment when I realized how much sleep I actually need to get back to my normal self. And I posted about that too. And I talked about how guilty I felt because it was a lot of sleep. And a few people encouraged me and messaged me and said, you shouldn't feel guilty for addressing your needs. And I really appreciated that. And it made me think about the importance of owning what I truly need to replenish my energy after social events and commitment. And I want to share my realizations, both for my own selfish reasons, so I can connect with others who feel the same and I don't have to feel so alone, and to give permission to those who are like me so that they don't have to feel guilty about their needs either. So let me recap my year with you. It's been a big one. It's been a big one for me. Like, I look at Taylor Swift and I'm like, I don't know how she is alive right now. But it's been a big one for me. You might think, you're barely doing anything. Okay, anyway. So Robbie and I knew last November that this year would be packed, and it was. It all started in February with a fundraising event. So this was not a big deal in terms of energetic output or as far as events go when I compare it to other things that I did this year. But it was a big deal for me. It was in my hometown. I had to go alone. I didn't know anyone there except for the organizer. And it was during a time when I was very aggressively not drinking, not out of protest. I just wasn't in the mood to be drinking. I've been drinking a lot more recently, which is definitely contributing to a lot of stuff. It's probably just a coping mechanism to being burnt out. But during this time, I hadn't really been drinking. So it was a big deal because I was going to this event where I didn't know anybody and I couldn't even have a drink, or I didn't even feel like I wanted to have a drink to cushion my nerves. I just showed up as myself. But I was proud of myself because I went and I made connections, and that was a big accomplishment. It gave me a big boost of confidence. After that, that was just February. Easy, easy introduction. After that, March rolled around and I had a bridal shower. Also, not a big deal. Most of the people there were my friends. Yeah, I did have to not travel, but it was in my hometown. So I had to drive about an hour there, you know, get dressed up, talk to a lot of people, blah, 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 de da, bridal shower. Okay, it's an event. It's not a local event. It's something that I have to prepare for, make conversations with people I don't know. That's what we're categorizing this as. And then also in March, Robbie and I went to the Dominican Republic for an incentive trip from Young Living that I earned, which was amazing. I had so much fun seeing all of my friends and tanning and eating good food and being on the beach and walking out to the sunrise. And it was such a delight. But as soon as we returned, it was Good Friday and Easter. And I've mentioned before on podcasts here that holidays and just annual celebratory events are very stressful for me. Growing up, my family hosted all of these events for our family. There was always tension and fighting among my family members. There was always stress in the days leading up to it. My parents would fight. My mom would aggressively clean. It just was not fun. And as I got older, my mom would just like wake me up with a glass of a mimosa just to prepare for the day. So these were all just very anxiety-inducing environments that I was in growing up. So now when these events come around, when it's holidays or birthdays, just annual celebratory events, I kind of clam up and I'm like, oh, what do I need to expect now? And while I don't have to deal with this directly anymore by any means, that inner child memory still does have an impact on my emotions. But like when I was growing up, it was never about just sitting around and enjoying each other's company. It always felt like an obligation. And like I said, things have gotten better, especially since I married Robbie. His family is so freaking wonderful and delightful. They're just the perfect family. Like they have siblings group chat. They all love each other. When I go to their house for holidays, all of the family comes over and the kids play and the adults just talk about what's going on in their lives and there's no drama and you're just eating food and you're hanging out and you're laughing and it's wonderful. But actually, so we came back from the Dominican Republic. It was Good Friday and Easter. And I think Robbie's parents actually were here for this, which made it better. We flew them down to watch Hawthorne while we were in the Dominican Republic. And then I think they just stayed a couple of extra days, which was wonderful. And then we hosted Easter at our house with my parents. Oh, I don't think my parents even... My parents were like, we're too tired. We're just staying at home and we're going to eat frozen food. Fine. That's not a problem. So it was just me and Robbie's parents. Okay. That's that. That was March. It was a delightful day, but you know, cooking, hosting just still brings a little bit of stress. Then things have not wrapped up yet. Okay. So if you're thinking, Susie, you're just like a little bit, no, just wait. Then came April, another easy month. Fast forwarding and rewinding. The Dominican Republic, that's a big deal because it also includes a flight and some aggressive packing and then days of not being in my like natural habitat and also all of the socializing. So then April came, which was easy. Another bridal shower, getting dressed up, seeing people, talking to people, making new friends. But it was local. It was in my hometown. Again, a couple of hours, like not a big deal. But by June, that's when things started to ramp up. June is when my year took a significant turn. Not in a bad way. Not in a bad way. It just took a turn in terms of like, well, okay. Also, Robbie had 3 work trips this year. So there were times when I was home alone with Hawthorne in addition to all of this, which is really not a big deal. It's just a little bit of a stressor because I can't get the work done that I want to get done. So I spiral and then I feel like a failure. But anyway, in June, we had a wedding in Tennessee that we drove up for. So aggressive packing, traveling, going to a wedding, being social. It was fun. I was with like my friends. I went on a hike, which was very good for my soul. But trip nonetheless. And as soon as I came home, some of you guys might remember this, my mom ended up with an unexpected infection and was in the hospital. As soon as I came home, I took care of her. I kept her at my house for about a week and was just driving her to and from doctor's appointments, trying to figure out what was wrong. Nobody could figure it out. Everybody's trying different things. Everybody's guessing different things. The pain just keeps getting worse. Finally, she goes to the hospital. She's close to sepsis. She has to get surgery that was very invasive. And then she's in the hospital. So then for another week, I'm traveling back down to my hometown to visit her and spend days with her and be with her and advocate for her. And, you know, came back and left her in my dad's hands. But that's just obviously an incredibly stressful time because I was driving and traveling and worrying and being my mom's caretaker and then just seeing a parent suffer and really for a while like face their own mortality takes such a toll. And this was the first time something like that had happened to me, and there was a lot of inner child stuff that came up that I got the opportunity to deal with. And then right after, boom, boom, boom. It was Tennessee trip for a wedding, taking care of my mom in the hospital. And immediately after that, a local wedding. So that's a lot. July was a whirlwind as well with, Young Living convention in Utah. I was staying with friends, and it was wonderful because I was with friends and it was comfortable. I didn't feel like I had to put on a show, but I was still like talking to a lot more people than I usually do and not having my alone time like I usually do. And then I got stuck in Utah for 2 extra days because the internet just stopped working. As an introvert, and I know how to bank my energy for events throughout this whole year. Like when I went to Tennessee, when I went to the Dominican, like I know how to bank my energy beforehand so that during this allotted time, I can be my full Suzy self and give everybody what they want of me and just socialize and such. But these 2 extra unexpected days really took a toll because I did not bank days for those. So I was taking out credit card energy for those 2 days. I missed Hawthorne so much. I was on the verge of tears constantly. And I was in such good, hospitable hands with my friends, Marlo and Ryan. I was so lucky to have a place to stay, things to eat, a bed. I didn't have to worry, people to drive me to and from the airport. I just missed my baby a lot, and I wanted to be home, and I wanted to be in my own bed. And there was just an overwhelming loss of control over the whole situation, obviously, because the internet just stopped. It went on strike. It went on CrowdStrike. I'm so funny. Okay. The internet went on strike and said, no, Suzy, you're not going home. So finally, I come home after being so stressed out for 2 days and expending so much energy at convention where I was seeing people and talking to people and going to events. I was just on constantly. And then I took the red eye home, which is not good for your girl, Suzy, because Suzy needs her sleep. And this is something I will try my hardest to never let loose on. What's the word? Something I'll never compromise for myself is my sleep. If I can control it, I know that I need a lot of sleep. I am not a person who can live on like 4 or 5 hours of sleep and still knock it out the next day. I'm literally worthless. So I'm going on a red eye, not my choice. I just took the first available flight that they could give me. And I have no idea how to prepare for this. I wouldn't say that I'm a flight airplane expert, but I've been on a good amount of flying trips so far, never a red eye. So I have no idea how to prepare for this. And everyone's telling me you have to sleep on the plane. No, I'm not sleeping on the plane. I'm too anxious. I don't know how to do that. So I convinced myself instead to just stay awake overnight. Whoa, can I do it? So I got a quad shot in a cold brew and I watched like 6 episodes of Schitt's Creek, I think, or New Girl. I think it was Schitt's Creek. And I did fall asleep for maybe 45 minutes on my second flight home, or maybe it was a direct flight. I don't remember. I think it was a direct flight, which was good. I could be totally wrong. Everything's a blur. But I did sleep for a little bit, and then I came home, and I'm, like, exhausted. Because once you get home after being in not your normal habitat, and you're stressed, and you're overwhelmed, when you're home, your body just kind of, like, it's, like, lets out a sigh of relief and just collapses, basically. So that took a while to recover from. And this was my first time that I was like, okay, I need to start paying attention to a lot of things to prevent this from happening because the year is only going to get tougher. And this is when I actually started documenting my need for Suzy recovery. And this is when I coined the term raccooning. And I started paying attention to what I actually need to replenish myself. So I came home. The first thing I did, took a nap. No. The first thing I did was eat pasta. Then I drank a ton of Ningxia to replenish my body of minerals and vitamins and antioxidants because I knew my body needed some health attention. Then I probably took a quick shower and then I took a 4-hour nap. I proceeded to sleep that night for 12 hours and like for 2 nights after, 12-hour nights. I'm pretty sure I took a nap every day after that as well. So I would like put the baby down and then go to sleep right after him. Like I said, this is when I coined the term raccooning, which is when, after a social engagement that really depletes you, your health goes out the window. We're not worried about health right now. We're worried about surviving and getting our energy back in order. I know it seems counterintuitive. Suzy, if you want to get your energy back in order, you should eat healthy food. No, this is actually wrong. The truth is, you need to eat and act like a raccoon for a couple of days. And what would a raccoon eat? Well, a raccoon would definitely take its little grubby raccoon hands and open up a box of pizza and eat the leftover crust that someone left behind and didn't want. Or This raccoon would dive into the garbage can behind the grocery store bakery and eat the two-day-old croissants that were thrown out, you know? So I'm like scavenging through my pantry looking for stale crackers and some like random Kraft cheese slices that I might have somewhere in some drawer somewhere and make that my snack for a little bit of the day. So you just eat trash for 3 days. You sleep a lot, as much as you can. My baby was napping. I was napping. My baby was going to sleep. I was going to sleep. And then by day three, you're like, all right, I'm kind of over this. The raccooning phase has brought me to a baseline level. It's brought me out of the depths of depletion and into a baseline state. This is good. You're at zero. Now, I can start feeding my body and doing good things. This is when I start prioritizing water and maybe eating three meals a day. I make sure that I'm balancing my fruits and vegetables and my proteins and my fats. And I start going outside and I spend more time outside and I'm going on walks and I'm moving my body. And I do that for a couple more days. And then usually after about a week or a week and a half, if it's been a really emotionally depleting event, I'm usually back to normal. So this is the month and the event that I start to notice, oh, I really need to look out for myself. After convention in July, we had a break in August, and then we had September, which took like, if June really like turned my year around, September kickstarted the phase that I'm in right now. In early September, we had my birthday and Hawthorne's birthday. We already know annual events are stressful for me, like not obviously stressful, but it's like my body knows it's stressful and I don't realize that my body is in a state of stress until afterward. We hosted Hawthorne's birthday. Luckily, it was all of our close friends. It wasn't that stressful, but an event nonetheless. The week after Hawthorne and Maya's birthday, we drove up to Virginia. We drive a lot. With our three dogs and child. And stayed with Robbie's sister, my sister-in-law, Wendy. Because my cousin on my side was getting married. We made it a family trip to see my sister-in-law and her kids, the cousins, because they were the wedding and my sister-in-law were all close together. Now, I love Robbie's family. And there's no but coming after this. I love our nieces and nephews. I love my in-laws. This sister is located just outside of D.C., so we don't get to see her very often. So I was delighted to be with them. She has kids. She has four kids ranging in age from 8 to 16, three boys, one girl. There was just a lot of energy. They love Hawthorne. They just like were fighting over hanging out with him, playing with him, holding him. But we're just taking into account the fact that I'm not in my regular natural habitat. I'm already at a low level baseline stress that takes a toll after a couple of days that I don't really notice until it's too late. So I'm out of my element, but I'm enjoying myself. And then it was my cousin's wedding, which is also a joyous event. I get to see family members. I get to see my cousin. It's not about whether it was a joyous event or not. It's about how much emotional exhaustion and energy did it take out of you. And this was a lot because while Rachel didn't have like titles in her wedding, I had maid of honor duties at the wedding, but her other friend Becca was also like holding maid of honor duties for beforehand and like the bridal shower, whatever, all that stuff, bachelorette party. So while she didn't do official titles, I was like the maid of honor for the day. I was at the rehearsal dinner that we had to go to and then the wedding day. So I drive out early in the morning on wedding day. All day we're getting ready, all day wedding at night. In the days prior, I'm like getting my speech together, writing a speech, practicing a speech, doing a speech, scary, trying to like get the room hyped. I did great, by the way. And right before we left to go to Virginia, I had ordered a dress from Petal & Pup that was so cute, but the cut was on a small girl that had no boobs. And I put it on the dress that fit, except it was definitely R-rated with my tatas out. So I couldn't wear that dress. I brought some backup dresses. I spent 3 days in Virginia hopelessly searching for a dress for the wedding. Didn't find one, so that's just an aside. Anyway, did the rehearsal dinner, did the wedding, stayed with my sister for like another day or two, drove back down from Virginia. Then about a week and a half later, I had our retreat in North Florida that I did with Brian and Wendy and Melissa for our Young Living brand partners. And we had been planning this retreat since like March was the conception of the idea. It really started to solidify in April. So this was a long time coming, a lot of planning, a lot of organizing. And it finally happened, and it was in North Florida. I drove up. Again, that drive sucks. It was 7 hours. I drove up. It was about 5 days. The first day was all prep. The second day, we were greeting everyone that was flying in. The third and fourth days were the actual retreat. The fifth day was cleanup. And on the fifth day, we knew that Hurricane Helene was coming. So we had to clean up all the houses, close up all the houses. Luckily, I made it home on time. What I didn't realize until this happened was that when you're hosting a retreat, it's not a retreat for you. It's a lot of behind the scenes work, putting out fires, making sure everyone's happy, making sure everything's going to according to plan, making sure everybody has the time with you that want, making that they want, making sure everyone's having a good time. We had meetings with corporate because corporate came down. It's a lot of stuff to handle behind the scenes. So I really didn't get to participate in a lot of the events that we had planned, but that's okay. It's just what happens when you do a retreat. I learned, I know now. So it was 5 days of seeing people, 5 days of being with people, kind of being the face of this retreat as well with Brian and Wendy and Melissa and spending a lot of time with people. You get it. I drove back down 7 hours. I had to pull over and take a nap at a gas station parking lot. It's just like, oh, I got to keep it together. Then I had another event approximately a week and a half later, where I flew out to Utah for a silver retreat. So 3 big trips, basically back to back to back with minimal Susie recovery time in between. Silver retreat was delightful and a joyous event. When you hit the rank of silver in Young Living for 3 months in a row, they fly you out to Utah and you stay in a beautiful Hyatt hotel and you get spoiled with gifts and celebrations for you. There's professional development. You visit the farm. It was great. I was there with friends. Brian flew out. He's not a silver. He's above silver, but he flew out for his brand partners and obviously to hang out with me. And it was just great to see friends. But it was, again, a lot of FaceTime, a lot of Susie being on 100%. I was on 100% of the time because we had everything to do on the silver retreat schedule. But then practically every lunch and dinner, which most of the time was free time, I feel like Brian and I had plans to get lunch or dinner with someone that we were visiting, someone that we wanted to spend time with, or someone who wanted to have some kind of meeting with us. So I looked at the schedule initially before I left and I thought, yes, I can do this. I can make this work. There's plenty of time for Susie time. There's plenty of blocks where I can be alone. But as people kept asking us to do stuff, I kept saying yes because I didn't want to say no. I was having fun. I was looking forward to seeing these people, and those blank spaces in the schedule slowly started getting filled up. And I was there and I was like, oh yeah, Susie, this is a lot. So went to Silver Retreat, spent a lot of time with a ton of people. I think I was in Utah for 4 days, got back home, and noticed that my body was really starting to break down. And we had one more wedding to travel to, which was my childhood friend Hannah, again in North Florida, only a 5-hour drive now, only a 1-night trip away. It was a beautiful wedding. It was beautiful to see her. And now we are on the other side of that wedding and we are home. And today is Wednesday the 16th. That wedding of Hannah's was on the 12th. But that didn't take a lot out of me. And then I got back from Silver Retreat on like the 6th. So I just started feeling like myself yesterday. So 6 to 6. So that's about 9 days. And what I have learned is, what happened? Because I learned there are times when I know that I can, and I do, announce, I need my Susie time or I'm not going to be fun. So I'm leaving this and I'm going to be alone for a few hours. Pretend I'm not here. Don't talk to me. I did that at our retreat in North Florida. And then there are also times when it's okay to be like, you know what? This is going to totally deplete me, but I'm doing it for fun because I love these people and I'm going to have a good time. But regardless of if I'm announcing that I need alone time or if I'm throwing alone time to the wayside to have a good time, when I come home, I need to have enormous amounts of grace and compassion with myself and be very obvious. I mean, this is obvious to me, but I know that not everybody has this relationship. Very transparent with Robbie, my husband, about what my needs are. He knows about Susie time. He knows I need Susie time. He'll go to events sometimes where I just don't go. And he's like, yeah, Susie's having Susie time. Everyone in our friend group knows what Susie time is. But I just am very vocal about what I need. And that might be him picking up a few extra chores that are usually ones that I take care of. Or telling him that when I come home, I would love for the diffusers to be going. Or I'm going to take a nap while Hawthorne takes a nap, and that's where I'm going to be. I need to have compassion with myself with how much sleep I need, which is really like 10 to 12 hours. And that's just what I need. Like, I've been shamed for this. I have felt bad for needing so much sleep. But in all honesty, when I get, I can probably be, I'm like fine on 7 hours of sleep. But if I get six or less, you can tell. My brain's not firing appropriately, and that's just the way it is. I've tried to change, and this is just the way it is. If you want the full Susie experience, me in my delight and my joy and my optimism and my confidence and my creativity, then I need my 10 to 12 hours of sleep, baby. So I let myself sleep. I let myself take naps, which has been a whole other journey this year, which I won't even get into. I'll eat like trash for a few days, for as long as it feels good. And then I focus on my health. I start going outside, getting out of my raccoon phase, a little dark scurrying in the kitchen in the middle of the night for snacks. Start going outside, being in the sunlight, moving my body, and then just start doing the normal things that people do when they need to feel good. As far as how to prepare beforehand, I don't have an answer for that yet. I feel like I've tried a lot. I've been purposeful and mindful about not drinking alcohol for a while before I go on a trip so that I know my energy and my baseline health are addressed. I drink a lot of water. I maintain my routine as strictly as possible so I have that stability. But yeah, I don't know if there even is some way to prepare for beforehand to prevent this. Maybe this is just the way it is, and that's okay. That's just the life of an introvert. So I want to share with you, if you are like me and any of this resonated with you, please let me know so that I feel less alone. If this resonated with you and you've always felt guilty for what your needs are to replenish your social battery, you are not alone. I give you permission to do those things to the extent that you can. I acknowledge that I'm lucky Robbie and I both work from home. If I take a long nap, he's usually able to keep an eye on Hawthorne and do the things that I need him to do in the days after, like do the extra chores. So to the extent that you can, take the time that you need. That's all for now. I hope that you feel less alone. I hope that you feel empowered. I definitely feel a little bit better getting all of that off my chest and owning it. I'm not sure. I had to reschedule a lot of podcasts because of the hurricane. But if there is anyone that you want to specifically hear from, please let me know. My DMs on Instagram are always open. I think most of you probably do follow me on Instagram. It is woo-woo, W-O-O, W-O-O, bestie, underscore Susie, S-U-Z-Y. My DMs are always open. I pride myself on getting back to nearly all, as many as I can, DMs as I can. If there's any topic you want to hear about, either from me personally, a topic that you want covered educationally, a person that you would like, please let me know. Let me know what you thought about this episode. Give it a rating and a review. They help me so much and they make me feel so giddy inside. And that's that on that. I hope you guys have the best day ever. Thank you for hanging out with me. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed the wisdom, knowledge, and camaraderie that was shared today. If you enjoy this podcast and hanging out every week, make sure to subscribe to this show so that you never miss an episode. And if you really want to make my heart sing with joy, take a couple of minutes today to rate and review this show. In doing this, you're exposing the show to others that are just like you and just like me and would benefit from the information shared here as well. If we're not already connected, you can follow me on Instagram at woowoobestie_Susie, S-U-Z-Y, where I share more about my plant magic journey, spirituality, and knowledge about essential oils. I've also linked our Woo Woo Bestie Facebook group below if you're not already a part of it. It's a safe space for seekers of wisdom and those anywhere on their journey of spirituality. Ask your questions, share your moon rituals, learn from the collective wisdom of the Woo Woo community. All are welcome, and I would love to see you there. I hope that you have the best week ever. Until next time.